Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
2025 from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. at the Trinity Temple Assemblies of God Church, TTAG Community 10, Tema. Ministering in Word, Reverend Mark Sesi, National Missions Director, Assemblies of God, Sierra Leone. Reverend Sujit Alex, SAMS North Area Leader, Assemblies of God, UK. Thanksgiving service follows on Sunday, 19th January 2025 at the main auditorium of the Accra International Conference Center. The time is 10 a.m. Guest speaker, Reverend Stephen Yensum Wingham, General Superintendent, Assemblies of God, Ghana. Chairman for the occasion, Most Reverend Professor Johnson Kwabena Asamoah Gyedu, the presiding bishop, the Methodist Church, Ghana. Ministering in music will be MOG Music. Also in attendance will be His Eminence Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, Reverend Professor Paul Frimpong Mansour, immediate past General Superintendent, Assemblies of God, Ghana. Apostle General Sam Kwanchi Ankara, Royal House Chapel International, Reverend Steve Mensah, Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry, Most Reverend Dr. Paul Bwafu, Apostle Professor Kwejo Opoku Onina, Reverend Dr. Lawrence Tete, Reverend Dr. Sylvanus Amegashiti, Elom Group Corporate Chaplain, First Sky Group, and many other senior clergy. For more details, please call 020-854-3441. Or 0248-940-021. First Sky Group 22nd Thanksgiving Service. Proclaiming God's unfailing love.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Ghana Connect. After losing out in 2016 and 2020, John Dramani Mahama is back at the Jubilee House, or the Flagstaff House, if you want. John Dramani Mahama has made that comeback and this week has been sworn in as the sixth president of the Fourth Republic. John Dramani Mahama has announced a 120-day social contract with the Ghanaian people prior to his election and has affirmed same in his inaugural speech. John Dramani Mahama says he's hitting the ground running immediately and this week put before Parliament his first set of ministerial nominees: Dr. Kesel Atuforsen for Finance, John Jinapor for Energy, and Dr. Dominic Ayine for the Attorney General and Ministry for Justice. John Dramani Mahama has also been speaking at numerous functions and outlining what his vision is for his second term in office. The big question for Ghana Connect tonight: what exactly should John Dramani Mahama be focusing on as priority areas? And for you citizens, what do you think John Dramani Mahama's focus should be? Please do send us your message 055-111-1197, 055-111-1197. I'm really interested in getting to know what your views are on the key issues that John Dramani Mahama should focus on now that he has assumed office again as president. And he himself has been talking big, announcing a broad raft of policy measures that he is going to be embarking on as he has finally been sworn in and already hitting the ground running with work. So this is such a big issue for so many people, and we will be interesting to get to hear what your views are on this right after this break.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.gh. age and manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244 308 111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaeji, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302 764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website www.kingdomgh.com.
Businesses know how important it is to create a productive and supportive working environment by investing in employees' health. With a leading international track record, Apex Health Insurance is licensed to provide medical insurance services to corporate organizations and SMEs. We also have international LH Blue Cover and TPAs to cushion you. Multinational companies, factories, and government agencies focus on your business while Apex Insurance takes care of your health. Visit Apex Health Insurance office at Zion House, Boundary Road, Shiashi, Kumasi, opposite Prempeh College, Sofo Line, and Takrady Market Circle. For further inquiries, call 0501 562 962 or 0501 552 495. Apex Health, your preferred health insurer.
First Sky Group, a wholly owned Guinean company made up of First Sky Construction, First Sky Bitumen Processing, First Sky Commodities, Volta Serene Hotel, Western Serene Atlantic Hotel, Serene Insurance, First Sky Energies, and Ferro Rural Bank warmly invites you to its 22nd Thanksgiving service on the theme Proclaiming God's Unfailing Love, Romans 8:37. The Thanksgiving service in two parts will be hosted by the founder and executive chairman, Mr. Eric Sedi Kutoche. There'll be an all-night service on Friday, 17th January 2025, from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. at the Trinity Temple Assemblies of God Church, TTAG Community 10, Tema. Ministering in word, Reverend Mark Sessi, National Missions Director, Assemblies of God, Sierra Leone. Reverend Sujit Alex, SAMS North Area Leader, Assemblies of God, UK. Thanksgiving service follows on Sunday, 19th January 2025 at the main auditorium of the Accra International Conference Center. The time is 10 a.m. Guest speaker, Reverend Stephen Yensum Wingham, General Superintendent, Assemblies of God, Ghana. Chairman for the occasion, Most Reverend Professor Johnson Kwabena Asamoah Jedu, the presiding bishop, the Methodist Church, Ghana. Ministering in music will be MOG Music. Also in attendance will be His Eminence Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, Reverend Professor Paul Frimpong Mansour, Immediate Past General Superintendent, Assemblies of God, Ghana, Apostle General Sam Kwanchi Ankara, Royal House Chapel International, Reverend Steve Mensah, Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry, Most Reverend Dr. Paul Bwafu, Apostle Professor Kwejo Opoku Onina, Reverend Dr. Lawrence Tete, Reverend Dr. Sylvanus Amegashiti, Elom Group Corporate Chaplain, First Sky Group, and many other senior clergy. For more details, please call 020-854-3441 or 0248-940-021. First Sky Group 22nd Thanksgiving Service, proclaiming God's unfailing love.
Wow. Welcome back to Ghana Connect. It is the return of the fourth president as the sixth president. John Dramani Mahama is back at the seat of the presidency and driving the country's future. And as Ghanaians, the same people who put him in office, we want to gauge from you what you make of how he has started and what you want him to focus on. He has a 120-day social contract that Ghanaians will be looking forward to holding him to account on at the end of his 120 days in office. So we have some really brilliant minds connecting with us on studio and on Zoom to share their perspective on this. But you can also send us your views on 055-1111997. That is the WhatsApp number. If you do send us your message, we'll be very glad to read them and share them with the rest of the world as regards to what you make of the starting decisions of John Mahama and ultimately what you think he should be focusing on in his last term in office. So connecting with us in studio is Gifty Adoboa. He's a former SRC presidential candidate of the University of Ghana City Campus. Gifty, it's good to have you connect with us.
Thank you very much.
And also in studio, Henry Nana Ekufu Edmond is also former president of AFICLAS, and he's also connecting with us in studio. Henry, it's good to have you connect with us.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, you get close a bit to the microphone. Mo Salam Andani is an international policy analyst. He's currently a research assistant at the University of Belgrade, and he's also connecting with us via Zoom. Mo, it's good to have you connect with us.
Thank you very much, Kweku. The pleasure is all mine.
Great. And then Frimpong Collins is also our colleague here at Joy, and he's also connected with us in studio. Collins, it's good to have you.
Yeah, good to be here once again.
Let me start from you. Today is 10th. I mean, John Mani Mahama has been in office for at least 3 full days. Are you impressed with what you've seen, the decisions he has taken so far with NDC supporters, some of them running a rampage around town?
Yes. First of all, good evening to our listeners. I'd like to start from the integration part. I feel like if I'm supposed to mark the organizers, I'm going to give them 9 because they can't be 100%. But apart from that, they were excellent with everything that they did, especially President Mahama's attire was excellent. I really loved the outfit, and each and everyone who was there was excellent on the occasion, and I enjoyed everything that happened. And also, he re-emphasized some of the promises that he made during the campaign. But one thing that crossed my mind was the point where he was about to end his speech. And he said that we need to rationalize our tax system and also streamline it. That was quite different from the promise that he made, canceling certain taxes. But I'll come to that. With the last 72 hours, that's the time he has assumed office and has been working. I think... for me, I'm impressed with what he has been able to do so far, especially the challenges that we are facing in the energy sector and the kind of...
Have you experienced any power outages between 7th and now?
Honestly, no. Yeah, I haven't. And also, we don't really rely heavily on electricity, so I don't really see it. And when you come to work, you mostly spend your time at work, so you barely go... spend your time in the house. But apart from that, the kind of importance that they've attached to the energy sector is something that I think is commendable. Setting up a 12-member committee to find a solution to avert the looming doomsday crisis, I think it's something that was laudable. But my concern has been on the educational sector.
Okay, we'll get into some of those specifics. But
right.
I mean, Collins was itching to speak. I forgot to play my mashup. So, I mean, for those of you who have not really caught up, here's how things have gone down, particularly on the day John Dramani Mahama was inaugurated as the sixth president.
I, Professor Nana Jane Opoku Ajiman, having been elected to the office of Vice President of the Republic of Ghana.
I, John Dramani Mahama, having been elected to the high office of President of the Republic of Ghana, do in the name of the Almighty God swear that I'll be faithful and true to the Republic of Ghana.
Baki, baki, baki. Jami, jami, jami. Baki, baki, baki.
entered into a covenant with you, the good people of Ghana, in which I have enumerated 26 actions that I'll take within my first 120 days. The circumstances we find ourselves in are indeed dire, but even so, I'll be decisive and swift in my actions. We'll focus our initial efforts on four critical areas. The first is economic restoration and stabilization of the macroeconomic environment. Second is the improvement of the business and investment environment. The third is governance and constitutional reforms. And the final, but not the least, is accountability and the fight against corruption.
Ensuring that he's not packing the courts with partisan hacks, you know, who will deliver justice on the basis of partisanship, but on the basis of the fairness and merits of the cases that come before them.
So you heard that the incoming Attorney General, that is if he is approved by Parliament, I mean, talking about what he believes John Dramani Mahama should be doing with the criminal justice system and also the judicial system as a whole. But let's get back and let me hear from you, Gifty. I'm sure the matter of representation matters to you very much.
Exactly.
And for the first time in our country's history, we've had a woman on that podium being sworn in. What does that symbolize for you, really?
Well, I think it's a proud moment to all. It's a proud moment to, you know, be a woman in Ghana. So it's a moment where all women across the country are, you know, celebrating. Whether you are from the NDC or from the NPP, it doesn't matter. It's a moment where we are all happy that a woman, as a Professor Nana Jane Opoku Ajiman, has been able to raise the bar so high and has set the pace for all other women, both young and old, to follow suit. I was really happy, and the entire election time, I wasn't posting anything. And because of what I am known for on campus, some people reached out to me that, why am I not, you know, kind of participating in the election? And I kept telling them that, look, I'm watching from, you know, behind the scenes. I'm just watching. And so after she won, I still didn't post anything until the day she was sworn into office. And so behind closed doors, I was so happy within myself. I was really, really happy. So I think it's a moment where we all have to celebrate. Forget party interest. Forget where you belong. I mean, this is something that as women, it calls for us to celebrate and then follow the steps that, you know, she has already taking, and so that in future, those of us who also looks up to people in higher ranks, we can get where we are going. And so it's a good thing. I mean, not just the women, men who also likes to advocate for women to be in leadership positions are all happy. And this is a history that Ghana has recorded. For the first time, we have a female as a vice president. This is such a high office for us to have a woman there. So it actually also tells me that gradually women are getting there in their fight to, you know, take up leadership roles. So if you ask me, then I think it's really a good thing.
Do you expect it to run through the government in terms of more appointment? John Dramani Mahama, for instance, promised that he will reserve 30% of appointment for women. I mean, I remember when the Oral team came out, it was a big conversation on social media and everywhere that there was no woman in there. And they said that you women make the best of detectives when you have to go through a men's phone and all that. There was a, on the lighter side, people said that. And then there was a subsequent appointment. He's nominated 3 persons into his cabinet. There's no woman in there. But generally, you are confident that it should run through and we should have women as part of this affirmative action process and this affirmative action gender bill that we've passed to ensure that we have women in very high places within the cabinet.
I'm actually happy that you've even mentioned the affirmative action. Now, we can't call it a bill again. Why? Because it's been passed. The former president assented to it. So as we speak, it's a working document for the land. And so it is not going to be like a choice that His Excellency would have, but then it's a requirement. I mean, the laws demands of him that he insert women in the administrative business of the land. And so, yes, I'm very confident. And he made mention of the fact that he was going to work with only 60 ministers. So far, with the records I have, three is already out. I don't know if there's more, but I know of three. And I don't think he's really there for us to continue or start judging that we've not seen a woman yet. Now, it's just three. So 57 more to go, and I believe that we're going to see women. I mean, there are speculations out there. A lot of women, you can see them in the list that people are speculating. But because it is not certain, we can't really be too sure. But I am of the conviction that he's definitely going to include women, because you could see during the campaign, you could see some strong women, how women were really pushing him. And I don't think that if they are not interested in matters of the land, if they are not interested in the well-being of the people, they will come out in the first place to, you know, campaign or try to be in the space of politics, which at the end of the day or in the long round seeks the well-being of all of us. So it's going to be the case. So I'm convinced that he is going to include women.
Mo Salam, let me hear your view on this NDC supporters on rampage. I mean, the president has on several occasions had chance to actually call the party base to order and ask that the Lord take his course. But it's been going on. I mean, right from when he was elected, NDC supporters storming state institutions, state installations to take over, attacking the occupants and all that. It has intensified since he was sworn in 3 days ago. This is it's like a ritual every turn of power. Whenever the party shift from one political party to the other, the governance, it almost always happen. And following this, I mean, it's not really something that we must tolerate, but it's been going on anyway.
Thank you very much, Kwiku. I don't know if you can hear me loud and clear.
Yes, I can.
All right. Thank you very much. And a lovely good evening to your listeners and viewers across the country. And a happy new year to everyone. I think this is the first time we're meeting after the new year. So happy new year to you and all your crew at the studio and everyone in Ghana. I think the question you're asking is very important, but I think it has taken a more emotional and trivial approach on social media, especially with the posts that I'm seeing, with the reactions with regard to how people are reacting to, you know, our parties and governments, appointments, who is getting what at what point, who is getting fixed into which place. But specifically, I don't know if you want me to speak to the issue that was out or like in a broader perspective as to the appointment.
So we'll get into the specifics of some of the things that John Dramani Mahama is doing and what you expect him to do. I just want to pick your initial thoughts on these party facts on rampage, taking over state properties and all that we've been seeing in the media over the last few days in particular.
Yes. It's, like I mentioned, it's a very important issue. And like I said in my introduction, it has taken an emotional response, especially from followers of both political parties. If you look at the trajectory and the history of our electoral cycle, every electoral year we see these things, especially if it's a discontinuation of a particular party, if it's not a re-election bid, but a change of government, complete change of government. We see these things happen all over the country. You see thugs going into places to ransack state properties. And also some people even go as far as sacking people, duly, you know, appointed or elected officials in their offices in hopes that they have to take control. And also some also do that to sabotage the outgoing government, not just the opposition that is coming into government. We've also seen that disgruntled members of the party that is leaving office often engage in these activities because it is the last minute and it is the time that they can, you know, scramble to get some things out of the government. But more onto the substantive matter, I think the only thing we can do to curb the situation or to make sure that these things stop is to be accountable to the people. The people in authority need to be accountable. One of the reasons why we see these things is, one, when it's election time, authorities or politicians often hoard goods and services. They often hoard a lot of things, like food that is meant to distribute to people, or even motorcycles or tricycles. I can remember in 2016, we saw it happen in Tamale with regards to the JIDA issues. And when authority, when people in authority do not show that sense of patriotism to the nation, and they hoard these things in hopes that they are going to share them during election, and when they lose, you know, people are definitely going in there to take these things. And so that is one aspect of the thing that many people don't want to talk about. People cannot just go about ransacking places and looting or destroying state properties. There's a cost to that. And one of these issues is what I've just explained. People in authority need to be responsible for the state properties that have been entrusted to them. And also onto the young people out there, like I always say, if you have to go out there and ransack or loot, it means that you are not going to contribute anything meaningful to the party that is coming in government, or you were not anyone important to the party that is leaving office. So that in itself should tell you that you are at the back bend of the political cycle, and we should shy away from doing all these things in the sense of promoting peace and stability. I mean, violence, and again, but the last thing I will say on it is that people have not been held accountable to some of these things that they do. We see it year in, year out. When these things happen, almost no one is prosecuted, almost nobody is held accountable, and it just goes, you know, and so it repeats itself. So when we try to prosecute people for some of these, because people burn stuff, people destroy state properties, and they have to be held accountable. And so I think with these two things, I think we'll be able to mitigate some of these unfortunate incidences.
I mean, let's start the substantive conversation with, say, Free Senior High School. It's a big conversation because it was a big election promise in 2012, 2016, 2020, and then 2024 as well. We know that, for instance, the National Association of Graduate Teachers, NAGRAT, the persons who teach mostly in senior high schools are calling for urgent review or reform of the entire policy. There are even those who are asking for the entire policy to be scrapped in the current form. There are those who said that, including Mr. Setokwe, who was the then former finance minister under the first John Dramani administration, saying that when it comes to free SHS, you need to make the day school free, and then parents who intend that their students, their children, should be in boarding house, should pay for the accommodation and then as well as their meals. What should happen with Free Senior High School, you reckon?
I think this is an important conversation. It's the free SHS issue has been on the ballot since 2008. And so anyone who is familiar with our electoral cycle knows that it is a very huge issue. But for me personally, what I think should happen to the Free Senior High School is one, the double track should be phased out. It is eroding the quality of the kind of graduates we are churning out year in, year out. It is a non-starter to even think about why students should spend 2 months or 3 months at home and spend a couple of weeks in school. And instead of the term system that we're used to, they are now running semester systems. And they tell you that the contact hours have been increased, but that is not the case. Everyone who has a ward, I have two wards in high school that I'm personally responsible for, and I can tell you that the money I spend in paying extra classes for my wards, it is way, way, way above if they were going to be in school. Not to talk about some of the expenses with their food and other, you know, necessities. And so I think the first thing that should be done is the double track system should be completely phased out. We should go back to the first term, second term, and third term system to ensure that we get the needed contact hours, the teachers have their time to engage the students. And also the second thing I think should be done to the free SHS is that one, the issue of whether or not it should be completely cancelled, whether people, those who can afford should pay, or those who are day students or not. I think what we can do is that it should be merit-based. The free SHS should be merit-based. So it should be free for all science, business, and agri students. That is my personal proposal. The free SHS should be free completely for science students, agri students, and business students. And TVET, those who are in the technical and vocational schools. It should be completely free for all of these categories. Second thing I think that should be done is in the arts, those who are in the arts, it should be free for only those who attain some number of grades.
Mm, mm.
Could not be wholesale in the sense that even if you get aggregate 54, your father's years, you are going to be posted to any senior high school and you're going to get free. No.
That's interesting that you say 54 and that's the father's age. I mean, interesting. But hold it there for me. Let me come to Henry and hear his thoughts also on the free senior high school. Were you a beneficiary of the free senior high school program?
Oh, unfortunately, no.
Okay. Collins was, by the way. He's
I see. Then Collins, you are very young.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. So I think that, you know, personally, the free SHS policy has been one of the most popular policies in the, you know, in the history of Ghana. The government of Ghana, that is the previous government, for that matter, led by His Excellency Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, did so well by, you know, bringing such a policy out. Of course, I understand for the fact that to some extent, or to a larger extent, free SHS had long been existed. Just that there was some sort of improvement or some sort of, you know, an increment in terms of the enrollment and all of that in the whole policy. But you see, the most important thing is that if we are rolling out a policy and we do not forecast the possible threat or, you know, the possible challenges that may be posed on such policies, it turns out that it brings the policy into its negative form. So you go to, you know, some secondary schools. Of course, the enrollment is there, but you see students studying under trees. You see students lying on bare floors. I personally have noticed one. I remember I did my internship when I was at the university with one secondary school in the Eastern region. And I was at the staff room. In fact, the food that was reserved for staff, which was, you know, portrayed as, let me say, special, you wouldn't even take it for your dog in the house. Mm. So then it made me feel like, which one then are the students taking? Because the staff food is a bit special than that of the students. So these are some of the challenges that are in the system. My colleague was talking about, you know, the issue of the double track system, which is very, very problematic in the sense that some will come to school, study for some couple of weeks, go back home, spend almost about 3 months home, and then later come back. And currently, if you come to our various universities, especially the previous, 2022, 2023 coming upwards, you can see that there is a clear distinction between the early days of free, that is, secondary school before free SHS, and, you know, the nature of the secondary education system after the rolling of the free SHS policy. So these are matters that should be, you know, closely looked at, rather than focusing on just the number of people who will be enrolled and the number of people who will pass. Another thing also is that I spoke about the issue of lack of some infrastructure and development. It is about time that if this government intends to, you know, tackle the issue of free SHS and make it better, then I think that we should channel more of, you know, our focus on expanding infrastructure. So, for instance, we build more boarding facilities for the students. We strategize how we get food for the students. I don't know how the government goes about getting the food for the student, but it's some way that, you know, for instance, look at Eastern region. For instance, Eastern region is a typical agri society where farmers, you know, plant cassava, which is they can make gari out of it, beans. You know, some of these, you know, food is there. Is it possible that for the government to be able to get enough food to serve, you know, the students in the various secondary schools, get some of these foods from the very same regions rather than they, you know, having to come to Accra and all of that to get food and all? So these are some of the challenges that I think it should be closely looked at.
Mm. Very, very interesting. And I think the free senior school has become such a big conversation with a lot of people sharing their views on it. Give to you, I don't know if you want to chip in there with something about this. What did you go to free SHS?
Not at all.
Okay.
I paid school fees.
The emphasis on the not at all. Why?
Yeah. So I didn't benefit from the free SHS, but then my kid sister and of course some of my nephews are benefiting. But I can only say they are benefiting, but then what goes into it is also another story on its own, right? I personally side with our colleague online if he talks about the fact that the double track should be taken away. Obviously, I side with him on that because my kid sister comes home and spends like 2 months or more watching TikTok. You tell her to study and Once she's home, there's nothing you will say that she will listen to unless it becomes serious, she's angry before she'll even listen to you. So I actually think that it's a good thing for the current or the new president to maintain. But then there are some potholes that I think we should look at and fix, like the double track. And so I've heard in the news that he's trying to meet with important stakeholders and all headmasters so that they can look at how best they can run the free SHS so that we can take away the double track and then it will come back to the normal system that we are all used to, first term, second term, third term. So I think that is what is currently I have heard, and I think it's a good thing. So I don't know, I'm not certain, but if it is really true, then I think it's in the right direction because the double track system seems to be a problem for about 90%. If you pick 100% of people, I mean, talking about the free SHS, it will be a problem for about 90%
of people.
I think it should be.
Yeah, okay. Collins, for someone who went through it, what are your views on the current conversation ongoing and in terms of what you think the new president should be looking at?
Yeah, largely, a lot of people have the view that we need to review free senior high school. And I also agree. But as to how we are going to review it is where we are facing the challenge. And a lot of people are suggesting a lot of things. Abdul Salam ended with the fact that we need to look at certain subject areas in senior high schools and give them the free education. I was actually thinking how he arrived at that we need to give the science and the business schools, business students in senior high schools the free SHS. Then we go to general arts, we look at certain grade points, then we give them the free SHS. How about the other courses? Is it that they are not important? Is he not seeing them as important? That's why he thinks that the other courses like the general arts and the science classes, business, they need to get the free SHS. I don't know what he really...
The query he's throwing out. The opportunity to respond. Just a short response.
Mm.
Yes. So I did not say that the arts do not need the free SHS. I was saying that. And he's asking how I arrived at that conclusion. So let me explain. One is we're currently having a system where both presidents or both candidates proposed that they're going to focus on innovation and technology, moving the country forward. We are living in an era where the president, who was just elected, said that his aim is to create an enabling business environment for entrepreneurs to try to get back to business. That is one. We live in an era where it is apparent that almost all the humanity courses are going to be phased out in the next 5 decades. And so my proposal is in that lens. But I did not say the arts do not deserve the free. I was saying that in order to promote the study of the sciences, agric, TVET, vocational schools, and pre-technical schools, that can give people jobs without even having to apply for jobs. It can give them skills that they can go out there and create employment for people. So that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that in the arts and humanities, what we need to do is you cannot get aggregate 30, 40 from BEC and go to high school to read general arts.
I think, Abdul, that's the point I was saying. I didn't even say that you said those in the arts do not deserve that, but you said there should be a certain limit, a cutoff point for them. So I think that's the same thing that you are also repeating. I was only interested in how you arrived at that, and I think you've clearly explained that. But me, my point is that I agree we need to review the free senior high school, yes, but how we are going to do it is where I find a challenge. And this is where I also find this particular government, the new government, I have issues with them. And if I was supposed to grade them in their first 3 days in office, maybe out of 100, I'm going to give them 65%.
Well, they haven't done anything with free just yet.
Right. So this is where I'm coming from. We are facing issues of food shortages in our senior high schools. And we've gotten to a point where CHAS, that's the Conference of Assisted Secondary Senior High Schools, are asking parents that if their wards are coming to school as they reopen on 3rd January, they need to come to school with additional food like gari, shito, and the other thing that they can think of. And government has not attached the kind of seriousness that they have attached to the energy sector.
They haven't even appointed an education minister yet.
I was actually thinking that if you're going to release first batch of ministerial appointments, in the first 48 hours, one of the ministries, even if you are picking only one, education should be part. Especially when you promise that in your first 122 days, you are going to make sure that you implement your free tertiary education for level 100 students. Students are resuming this month. Had it not been this whole WASI issue, WAEC not having money, or their scanning machines broke down, that they couldn't mark the papers, the objectives on time, the students are supposed to be in school. Today, University of Ghana released the first batch of their admission. So by February, people are going to school. They are going to universities, other schools too. I think they too will be doing the same thing. And we are having CHAS calling out or asking parents to provide additional food to their wards. And we have nominated ministers, three ministers, one for their attorney general, the minister for and the Ministry of Energy, and also another one for finance. And we don't have one for the Ministry of Education. Is it that we are not concerned about the education? We've not even heard from government on what is happening. The concerns that people are going through, CHAS is going through, and it's not like CHAS is just raising concern. Things are happening on the ground. You go to the grounds and people are not eating. The schools, you go to Ashanti region, they will tell you that the schools that they have oil, the schools that they do not have, they just trade, doing barter system. I give you what I have, they also give me what I also need. That's what they are doing in Ashanti region. And no one, you know, hear from any of the government appointees or government officials. When they were in opposition, by now, I would have heard Clement Apak and the rest saying all sort of things everywhere, granting interviews about food issues in our senior high schools. And we have gone more than 1 week. No one has said anything about food.
Gone a week yet.
I mean,
on Tuesday.
Since transition, and I mean, since the schools resumed, 3rd June, today is 10th. And this issue has been there before they were sworn into office. So even the time that we were still in transition and they didn't want to say anything about it, how about now? 72 hours, nothing has been said. But before inauguration, they knew what was happening at the Energy Ministry.
Yeah.
How about education?
I guess education is really important.
So I think that I should come in a bit. I think, Collins, if you would agree with me, Ghanaians should relax for His Excellency John Dramani Mahama. This is a president who just assumed office in just about 72 hours, which is not even up to a week. This is the same president that even a day after, you know, his inauguration, he started, you know, engaging in some stakeholder meetings and all of that, addressing some matters of concern.
So you mean we should relax for our children or our brothers and sisters in senior high schools who are not getting food to eat?
I do not need to in any way start to, 3 months, you know, say that. But what I'm saying is that
there is an issue at hand. We could have equally relaxed for the energy sector to collapse. But we didn't.
I think Collins should let.
But that's the entire economy going there.
Collins, are you actually trying to say that it is only the education sector we have a problem now?
No, that's not the point.
Apart, so I'm sure.
Right, I'll be glad if Clement comes in. I'll be glad. Yeah. I'll be glad if you can sing. The point I am making is that we need to attach same seriousness to certain things. Mm. Like, we can't say that dedication is all a priority, especially when we have over 500,000 to a million people in our senior high schools who are not getting food to eat.
Just so I don't forget what I actually want to say, right, is that at this point, a lot of people, citizens in Ghana, everybody and the priority they place on certain things. So you here may think of education, which should be of concern to all of us.
And I said, I am disappointed. That's what I am. That's my expectation. What I was expecting them to tackle.
Just a quick one.
Right.
Is the fact that you are trying to say it's been 72 hours. It's been just 3 days. 72 hours. It's been just 3 days. Absolutely. But I can also equally hit my chest and say a part where it is also, I mean, of importance to me that I can say that is the government not seeing it.
Right.
Okay. You understand.
I'll come back to the conversation, okay. And Mo, I'll come to you. I know you've been on the Zoom for some time now. You haven't made a point. I'll come back to you shortly. But because Dr. Park's name was mentioned, he's called in and he wants to make an intervention. Dr. Park, I mean, the point is legitimate, is it not? That 72 hours since you guys assumed office, there's not much has been said about the struggles within the education sector. Is he not right in his criticism?
No, he's not right. I say it's not right because it's not everything that is done which is in the public domain. Clearly, this government is barely a week old. And the challenges we are confronting are challenges which have been with us for several years. And although we have transitioned, you ought to remember that John Dramani Mahama is yet to present his own budget and his economic policy. It is within that context that Ghanaians can begin to hold him accountable in terms of expectations. We passed the budget on appropriation just last week, and the amount that was voted to take care of affairs of state up until John Dramani Mahama can present his own budget is only 68.1 billion. And so we are constrained. But even so, I can tell you that the Chief of Staff, Julius Debra, has held a meeting with the Director General of the Ghana Education Service and the Chief Director of the Ministry of Education on these very vexed matter to do with the challenges regarding inadequate food and a lack of variety in terms of the food items available in the stores of our various secondary schools. And I can also state authoritatively that on Monday, the Chief of Staff is going to meet with the leadership of CHAS. In the background, we've been doing a lot to try and address the immediate challenges, even as we look towards implementing the policy proposals that we presented to Ghanaians during the electioneering campaign. And what I have said can be confirmed by the leadership of CHAS, it can be confirmed by the Director General, and can be confirmed by the Chief Director of the Ministry of Education. So we are not oblivious, and we are not sleeping. We are working. Sooner than later, the outcome of what we have been doing in the background will be public. But because of the impression being created, I am compelled to put these facts in the public domain. So Ghanaian parents and the good people of this republic should be rest assured that John Dramani Mahama is going to deliver on his promise to sustain and improve the free senior school program.
Right, Doc. Thank you very much, Dr. Park, for this intervention and for clearing this up and giving us this information. Ultimately, this is about giving quality information to the Ghanaian people. And as always, I think the point Colin sought to make was that much had not been heard. And so at least now he's heard something. If the government puts out regular timely information, then ultimately we are going to be in a good place. Let me give the last word on this to Mo, Salam and Danny, and then we can move on to a few other issues and then we can call it an evening. Mo, Salam and Danny, you've heard the intervention that was made, the conversation that has gone on. Ultimately, we all agree that the Ghanaian people must be spoken to in clear time because there are real substantial issues going on with the Free Senior High School program that must be addressed.
Yes, completely. I agree. You know, I was here and listening to Collins and I was shaking my head. And I wish I could intervene. And rightly so, Dr. Park has done justice to it. I was going to remind him that be aware that the education sector has departments and we have the Ministry of Education. And the minister is only there to supervise and direct and also to ensure that the interest of the government is upheld. But the real people who administer and make the day-to-day decisions of the education sector is the people that doctor has mentioned. There's a chief director of the ministry who is still at post. There's charge. There's almost every stakeholder in charge of the sector. It's around the clock working. So I wanted to remind him that the minister, the absence of an education minister does not in any way stifle the smooth running of the sector. But to put the matter into perspective, like I said earlier on, I think the free teachers policy is a solid policy, is a very good social intervention for the mass of the public. But my point is that, and I'll always emphasize it, we should be able to do away with the double track and also review it in such a way that it will bring back the discipline and the performance-based education system we used to have. It is appalling. I always say this. I have been a teacher before. I have taught students. I cannot, in my clear conscience, see a student with aggregate 50, 30 going to school for free. The students now, unless, of course, you don't have a ward, they
but
don't
I mean, not to cut you, but is it not part of the, is it not really like affirmative action? Because we know that, not to generalize, but students not from so well-to-do backgrounds do not necessarily do well in these exams. It's not a general situation. But if you go to the very poor of poor places in the country where teachers are not even going there, they are bound to get the 35, the 36, the 40s. And so, and in fact, they are those who even need the support even the more. And so, is it not overgeneralization?
The argument in perspective. Didn't we have these schools prior to the free SHS policy? We did, right? What I'm saying is that it has brought the quality down because now students do not have the incentive to study. Ask the teachers. Kweku, you can run a poll. Ask. We have interacted with the teachers. Students do not necessarily study anymore. Look, when we were in school back in the day, and BEC used to be something like World Cup. We used to take BEC World Cup. We used to do TDB. So they break because of BEC. Because we knew that if you don't pass BEC, that is the end for you. At some point, you have
to. That is the end for you. And I like the point that you made about performance-based issues and all that. Because I remember NAGRA president on Asempe FM talking about under this free SHS program, because students are not repeated, there's no incentive to learn and all that. I think it's a good point. Please hold it there for me. Let me come to the studio. Gifty, what else do you expect the new government to focus on? What are your priority areas? If you can do that for me in a minute or two. The places you think John Mahama should be focusing on now that he has assumed office.
Okay, thank you very much. But then before I actually zoom into that, I was going to ask him, that is it the case that the sciences, I mean, those students offering science, the other courses he mentioned, that is more attractive and that should, you know, kind of, they should be in school for free. Don't they also get the 30s, the 35s? Because I recently visited one school and you could see their grades on the notice board, and those who got admission to study science, like, you can tell their grades that, Charlie, not sure that they go on like that. So it's not only about the arts, it's cut across. It's a general something. It's a problem that we should look at, right? Now, back to the question, what I'm actually expecting the government to tackle in his first 120 days, right? If I am correct. Yeah, so I think one thing that gained popularity during the campaign season and all of that, especially with the boys, they were all looking at the betting tax that His Excellency promised them that he was going to, you know, take those things off, the e-levy, the COVID tax, because if you ask me, I'm like, the COVID is no more with us, so why am I being taxed for something that is not in existence? And so these are some of the things that as youth we are looking out for. And also,
but what do you say to those who say that betting is an existential issue? And so instead of removing the betting tax, we should even increase it to 50% or 80%, so that we can discourage, quote-unquote, people from getting into that.
Well, actually, I can't say much about that, because the moment you talk about this or raise it, the boys will now ask you, then where are the employment opportunities? Yeah. Because there are no jobs. That is not the justification. But then that is what is quick to come to the minds of the boys. I'm not actually encouraging anyone. It's not just the boys. So these days, you realize that the girls are even doing it. Yeah. I have one girl in my area. Like, she's the one that gives out the odds, if that's how they call it, my boys. Yeah, she's the one that gives out the odds. So it's not just even the boys. But then the moment you mention it, they will ask you, then give us jobs. It's not there. So we are now, even as a youth, we are all looking out for the new government that, in a way, he will create more employment opportunities. And I always keep mentioning that employment is a huge problem for the youth. And day in, day out, we graduate from the universities, we come out, and we keep numbering up. And it's the same problem. And they tell us to, you know, start creating our own jobs, because the government's payroll is full.
It's not big enough.
I don't know if it is the same with my brother's government, but yeah, that is the case. So we are looking at especially the e-levy, because I'm a young entrepreneur. I do a lot of transactions online, and always it's 10,000 cedis, and then the charges on it alone will kind of discourage you for continuing to, you know, do business online. And so I'm pleading with a new government that they look at these things as they promised us that they are going to do. And again, my last message to His Excellency the Vice President, I salute her, I respect her for the level she has attained in leadership, and we are hoping that she will use her platform to keep on encouraging us to, you know, lift us. I mean, looking at where she has gotten to, Charlie, I don't have the words, but It's very attractive.
Great. I mean, Henry, what your priority here is?
Right. All right. So we all understand for the fact that the President, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, has outlined his other priorities in his first 120 days. But for me, if I am to advise, within the, you know, the set of priorities that he has brought us, I would advise that he tackles the issue of the taxes, that is, you know, weaving taxes from the overburdened Ghanaian people. So the e-levy, which he promised that he's going to scrap, the, you know, one of the taxes that, you know, it doesn't convince me in any way is the COVID-19. I mean, we are out of COVID.
But the government at the time did say that we are out of COVID, but the cost of COVID has not left us. And so you enjoy free water. That
We understand that, but we also understand for the fact that there were some monies that were allocated to fight, you know, COVID-19.
Okay, let me not cut you. Let's do some social media messages briefly. There are a lot of messages have come in, and let's get some of them. James Avaji is joining me in studio with some messages that you've sent. James, what are people talking about?
Kweku, lots of people connecting both in Ghana and outside Ghana. Let's start from Nana connecting from the Sphinx Road. Said, having lived in the UK for long, I could say that no one goes to boarding school for free unless offered a scholarship. Please, free education must be given today's student as a third world country, and parents must pay for boarding for their wards. Laurentia, connecting from the UK, says, blame the previous government for the wahala Ghana is going through. President John Mahama just took office some few days ago. Let us give him time to fix the mess created by previous government. And Obasuma is connecting from Echuma Sepase in the Ashanti region. She said, please, free SHS will forever be a social opportunity to Ghanaian youth that benefited. Changes, cancellation, modifications, etc. and the issues, we pray that the youth never regret. And Jidula connecting from Keta said, the issue of shortage of food items in school is no fault of the ruling government, but they have to help solve the problem as early as possible. So those are some few messages from people connecting on the show today.
Right, a lot of them also come in on my WhatsApp. And Andy Dusty is up next with the library. But Henry, you were making a point, so if just, you can wrap it up in 30
briefly,
seconds.
Just briefly. So I spoke about the fact that if it is possible and the government of Ghana can, you know, prioritize, you know, scrapping all these levies, COVID-19 levy, e-levy and all of that. And then again, I think that the president in his order of priority for the first 120 days made mention of the fact that he's going to hold, you know, a national dialogue to address the state of the economy. I think one of the very, you know, message that was running through the whole campaign was the issue of the economy. And so if the president is able to do that as a matter of urgency, I think that is going to help, you know, solve the problem of the economy.
Mm.
And then one of the most important things was the fact that the then president-elect, now president, John Dramani Mahama, setting up the oral team to combat the issue of corruption. And so I think that we haven't seen so much from the oral team, even though their government is now in office. And so if it is possible and they can update the Ghanaian people on some of the, you know, scandals that they've retrieved and how they intend to, you know, bring these people into book, that would help.
That will help. Definitely. And thank you very much for that, those views. And I think the explanation from government has been that the oral is preparatory and that they will hand it over to the Attorney General and then some action will be taken. But definitely it will be important to hear from those in charge in terms of what exactly they've been able to do so far. Thank you very much, Henry Nana Ikufo Edmond. Thank you very much, Mo Salamandani. And thank you very much, Gifty Adobua, for joining us, as well as Collins Frimpong. Tomorrow on Newsfile, the inaugurations, botched prisoner pardon and failed CJ removal petition. Join Samson Larry Anyenini and his guest, Joyce Bawa Mokhtari, Professor Stephen Kweku Asare, Professor Ernest Kofi Abochi, Oliver Bakavomawo, and Hajia Rabbi Salifu on Newsfile from 8 o'clock a.m. up until 12 noon on the Joy News channel, as well as Joy 99.7 FM. Andy Dusty, like I said, is up next with the library. You don't have to miss, you know, it's always a lot of very good content and good information. My name is Kweku Asante. I'll see you again same time next week. Have a very great weekend.
Explore a world of limitless opportunities, life-transforming experiences, and self-discovery on Springboard, your virtual university. Learn from industry experts, CEOs, and changemakers as we empower you with the practical tools for climbing to your next level. Join host Reverend Albert Okran every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Joy 99.7 FM and online on Facebook and YouTube. Catch the repeat on Joy Prime every Saturday at 6 a.m. Partners, MTN Ghana, Enterprise Group and the Ghana Grows Programme, a collaboration between MasterCard Foundation and Springboard Roadshow Foundation. Media partners, Joy FM, Joy Prime and Graphic. Springboard, your personal value will shoot up.
Then, before dropping it off, she asked me,
"So when am I seeing you?"
You know, I don't know. You know, next time I won't be paying for your shopping, good?
Why not?
Because I don't like girls who give a guy conditions before giving them her number.
Wow. I gave you conditions.
Didn't you?
Sinami jinami baby, now buy you.
And wasn't I also minding my own damn business before you showed up at the mall looking this sexy? What was I to do? Go home dreaming about you in my sleep when I could actually have you?
Whoa, what do you think of me?
Well, very attractive. And that's what makes you dangerous.
So I'm dangerous?
Any girl with this kind of body is dangerous. Still in the shower and this girl doesn't even knock before entering. Hey, you want to take off your clothes here?
Access romantic comedy drama coming soon on Hits FM. Access
Sunday 6 p.m. on Hits FM.
Want more money, more moolah, more kudi, more sika, or more lajan?
Yes.
Then win more moolah with 30 Ghana Cedis free credits when you play Game Park's Pick 1 and Pick 4 games for the first time.
How?
Just dial *946#, get your first bet and win on us with a 30 Ghana Cedi welcome bonus.
Oh yes, it's all about the moolah.
Win more moolah with Game Park today. Go to gameparkgames.com for more information. Game Park is licensed by the NLA. Play responsibly. Not suitable for persons under 18 years.
Crew! There's a new captain in town. Your favorite rum, Captain Morgan, is now in Ghana for more spicy adventures.
Yeah!
How do you like your Captain Morgan?
Spicy with a splash of cola.
And you, shipmates?
Neat.
On the rocks.
However you like your rum, join the crew and spice on with Captain Morgan.
Yeah!
We are all aboard and ready to set sail with Captain Morgan. Now available in all leading shops and supermarkets in Ghana. Drink responsibly. Not for sale to persons under 18. Not recommended for pregnant women. This advert is FDA approved.
Morris, and I say keep on listening to George. 99.7 FM.
This is where it's at. It's your action-packed weekend radio.
Radio means joy. Something is about to happen. Turn up your volume. Keep it right here on Joy 99.7 FM.
Around Ghana.
Delivered right to your desk every week.
This is your
top 10.
Number 10.
I'm going to come.
number 9.
Number 8. Number 7.
Let the party is on. Sweetie, let's go. Hold my hand. It's your last chance.
Number 6.
Yo, you better the bang, you better the bang, you better the bang. And they better watch.
Number 5.
Bumsa, alarm fight. Caesar, alarm fight. Bumsa, alarm fight.
Number 4.
Watch it, my story, I'm watching, I'm watching. And the animal for me, my watching. Come for notching.